Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we're thankful to be here tonight, Lord. And we ask, God, that you'll guide us now through this teaching from your word, dear God. Have your way in this service, Lord. We pray for your anointing, and we ask for your glory to be received from this service. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Paul writes here to the Galatian church, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that ye desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. Which things are allegory, for these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with the children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolation hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brother, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Amen. You may be seated. This is actually Paul. He's continuing on right from chapter 1, 2, and 3. And he's still addressing this Galatian church, the believers, because that he's saying they've strayed from the gospel that was delivered to them, by him. And that they were straying from There were men that had come in among them. Paul points that out in the previous chapter, that came in to spy out their liberty and actually bring them back under bondage. And what they were doing was they were turning them back to the keeping of things under the law, in order to just be justified. And Paul was saying, you know, how could we have brought a ministry to you of a message of grace, and you actually have experienced this ministry of grace, and you want to go back to, you want to go to turn to the law? And you got to realize these were Gentile people. So it wasn't Jews that had been under the law, but there were Jews that came in among them that were telling them, hey, if you want to be part of this, you've got to keep these things of the law. And that's why one of the things that came up even among in the Christian church back at that time was this whole thing about circumcision and that. But Paul, you know, in the third chapter, Paul really points out this whole thing about law and grace, and that, and what they had done, and said, you know, these false brethren come in to bring you into bondage to these things, and and then Paul actually brings the teaching showing how that Jesus Christ came, you know, and he fulfilled all of that was under the law on that, and brought grace. And Paul says, now any man that comes in here telling you something different than this, then don't have anything to do with him. Let him be accursed. When Paul says that, let him be accursed, that when you study that out, as we did back when we were going through Corinthians, you find it don't have anything to do with them, you know. And, you know, Jesus gave warning when he was here about men coming in to deceive and that. And Paul actually in Acts says, after I'm gone, grievous wolves are going to come in. And Paul was saying, you know, speaking perverse things. But this is why Paul was still there. And so it's why Paul was writing these letters to the Galatian church, you know. And like I said, Jesus had warned of these ones that would come in after him to bring a deception to the people and that. And Jesus not only warned of them, but Jesus said, don't follow them. You know, they're going to be saying they're this and they're that, but they're not. And let's go to what Paul was bringing out about law and grace. Brother Branham, in the message of spiritual adoption, he talks about when you remember when Peter and Jesus and two of the other disciples, James and John, I believe it was up on Mount Transfiguration, and you know there was Jesus. And then there appeared Elijah and Moses. And, you know, Peter looked at it and he said, this is great. He says, let's build three tabernacles. Let's build a tabernacle to Elijah and a tabernacle to Moses and a tabernacle to Jesus, you know. And Jesus says, no. And you look, Brother Branham goes in and explains that, and he says, you know, he says, the attitude that Peter actually was taking, he says, it's actually the spirit that was behind that. He said, that got brought on down through generations of Christianity to where, you know, even during the times of Brother Branham, there were people who believed, look, it really doesn't matter what church you are. It doesn't really matter, you know, what your creeds are or whatever else. Look, we're just all going to the same place, you know. And Brother Branham said, but with that frame of mind, then that means, you know, well, the Muhammads, you know, he names off some other religions, Buddhists and that. He says, what, we're just all going to go there, you know? And he said, no. He said, but look what Peter was saying. He says, look, Moses represented the law. So here stood Moses, and he represented the law. He said, so Peter's saying, well, those that want to live by the law will build a tabernacle for you. And he says, and then Elijah, he said, Elijah represented justice. Because he said Elijah called down fire out of heaven and bring judgment and justice to the earth there during his time. And so he represented justice and judgment in the prophets. He said, so here's justice and here's the law. He says, and then here stood Jesus. And he said, then the voice spoke and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And when they looked up, the scripture says, they saw only Jesus. So Moses and Elijah were no longer standing there. They saw Jesus only, is how the Bible actually says it in those words. And so he says, well, Jesus represented the coming of grace. So he said, here, he says, what's being represented in this scripture by God is, look, it's not the law, and you shouldn't want justice, but what I'm bringing to you, what I want to give you, what you need is grace. And then Brother Branham said, but he said, the thing was, he said, God never wanted the law. That was not God's plan. He said, Israel asked for that. They wanted the law. He said, because they wanted something that they felt they could do. Let us have something to do. Whatever you tell us, we'll do that. That no sooner left their mouth. It's actually in Exodus 19. And when you read through it, I read through this looking at what Brother Branham said, and when I went back to read Exodus 19 and that, I had to read it several times to get what Brother Branham was actually talking about, because as it goes through there, you know, it doesn't come off like Israel standing there asking, hey, give us the law, you know. But there is a verse in there where it's in the 8th verse, and it says, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken will do. You know, and that's what Brother Ram's pointing at. You know, that, and then the other part that Brother Ram points at is that the thing was, they had, you know, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, there was a covenant made. And that covenant was conditional. If you do this, you'll live. If you do that, you're going to die. And so he says, then, but man couldn't keep that. Man could not keep the covenant. He says, so when God comes down and deals with Abraham, he comes down and he gives him an unconditional covenant. It was not, if you do this and this and this, Abraham, then I'll bless you. It was, I'm going to bless you. Look at the stars in the sky. Your seed's going to outnumber that. Look at the sands of the earth. He says, your seed will outnumber that. And then he goes on to say, your seed's going to go into bondage, but I'm going to bring them out. And it wasn't on a condition. It was not if your seed does this and this and this, then I'll bring them out of bondage. But it's, I'm going to bring them out unconditionally. This is what I'm going to do, irregardless of what they're doing. So you realize Israel, while they're in Egypt, they're in Goshen, and how the things change, you know, when a Pharaoh comes on the scene that knows not Joseph and all that. And so it changes the whole scenario of their life and livelihood there, you know. But during that time, you realize, What they were looking forward to and what they were under was the promise that God had made to Abraham. There was no law. There was no Levitical law. There was no keeping of this and keeping of that. It was just believing unto the promise that had been made to Abraham. And when the time came, because God was actually very specific about it, he said, it's going to be 400 years. But when the time came, then the grace of God brought to pass the promise and brought them out. And the only thing they had to do was just accept it. They hadn't done anything to merit it. And then Brother Branham says, then they come out, they get down there to the Red Sea, they cross over on the other side, Pharaoh's army's drowned, so their enemy's been destroyed. God has already brought them out. So grace already delivered them, brought them out of bondage, and they were already on their journey to the promised land, which God promised and said he was going to bring them there, that he had already gave it to them. And he didn't put any conditions on them having to do anything in order for that to happen. He says, but then Israel got out there and they wanted to have something of themselves to do. And he said, that's been man from the beginning. He says, when Adam couldn't keep the covenant, then he says, you know, when the Bible says they sewed fig leaves together, and Brother Branham says, that was man making a religious covering for himself. And he says that was man trying to do something himself to better himself. And so that was never what God wanted. And here Israel, he said, they wanted to do something themselves. And he says, and that has continued right on down through religion, down through the generations. And that's what has caused, he said, all these different denominations and these man-made creeds and everything else. What is it? They're making up their own law. You know, if you do this, then, you know, sign, you're a member of the church. Now you're going. If you speak in tongues, you got the Holy Ghost. You know, look, friends, I've been in some of the churches, denominated churches, and I've seen the creeds posted on a banner on their back wall. This we believe. You've heard Brother Branham talk about it. I've seen it and read it. This we believe. And they go right down the list of what they believe on all these different, concerning these different things. I know it seems kind of strange because, you know, along with that, it seems like down through the years they begin to change their views on what godliness really is, what holiness really is, or holy godly life. But you know, Brother Bam said, "What do they always? Man always wants to make his own righteousness, and that's what when Jesus came on the scene, that's exactly what Israel was doing at that time. That's what the Jews were doing at that time. Their priests and all that. They were making their own righteousness." It was self-righteousness because they did this and they done that and they kept this law and they were keeping by the law and all that. And friends, look, they kept it right down the line. But Jesus looked at him and said, "You're full of dead men's bones. Outwardly, you've got all these things you're doing, but in your heart is where something's wrong." You see, this had been carried right on, and Brother Branham says, that's what's happened again. He says, look at Pentecost. He said, they've done the same thing as all the rest of them. You're talking about the Pentecostal organization, Pentecostal people that actually end up becoming an organization. They didn't start out as an organization. They started out as being free from the other organizations. But then they became an organization. Why? Because they instituted their "this is what we believe." And so Brother Branham was typing that as them, man making his own law. And so Paul's pointing at this and he's saying, you know, look, why do you want to go to that? When God gave the covenant to Abraham, there were no ifs. If you do this, I'll do that. There were no ifs. It's, I'm going to do this. And now Paul's saying, I brought the gospel to you, and it's not anything you've got to do except accept it and believe it, because Jesus Christ has come, and this is what he's done for you. But they had these other men come in, And you see, these men, they would have had their own self-interest and motives behind doing this. And so Brother Branham points at that as far as in his time about these different organizations and that, and these men that had the money, that they all had their own agenda and why they were doing these things. Well, that same thing applies for all the things that we have seen in our time, in our life of being in this message and seeing different men raise up and what they've done, many of them have raised up, and they made their own laws. And you see, it didn't do any good for them. Friends, look, there was men that have already now left the message. They made laws within their church, you know, over the years, about, you know, shoes women wear, how women wear their hair. A lot of it all involved the women, you know, and how women wear their hair. And they got down to things about what type of shoes, not just the thing about the heels, but what type of shoes. And they got down to things about not just the skirt being below the knees and that, but, you know, couldn't have a zipper on the front because that was a garment pertaining to a man. And all these different things they laid in. Now look where they're at. They don't even believe it no more. They don't even believe the message anymore. They're not only not preaching, you know, you sisters don't wear skirts with zippers in the front. They ain't preaching about skirts and stuff anymore. They don't even believe the prophet anymore. So what were they then? Agents of the enemy. And that's what these men were that Paul was pointing at that came in among the Galatian church and that, and why Paul was condemning them so much and telling them, look, let them be accursed. Don't have anything to do with them. They're agents of Satan that have come in to bring you under bondage. We're not under bondage. And that's why Paul was pointing out, you know, Paul was actually telling him, look, this keeping of days and months and years and all these things and the law and circumcision and all that, look, that there's an actual revelation to all this. Look, what was one of the things they condemned, that the Jews condemned Jesus of when he was there? Healing on the Sabbath day. Because you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. I remember some years ago, some man that was telling me, supposedly he believed the message and all that, coming talking to me about the Sabbath day. And it's not actually Sunday, it's actually Saturday, you know, the seventh day, and all these different things. And he was telling me about all this, and I'm looking at him and thinking, you say you believe this message? Man, have you got some things really turned around? They accused Jesus of healing on the Sabbath. He was doing something on the Sabbath day. Well, he said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I am your rest. I am the Sabbath. I'm what the Sabbath was pointing to. Your keeping of that day was pointing to the day I was coming. This is the rest wherein the weary shall be called to rest. And once you're in Christ, there is rest. But when you're trying to live by a creed or a law, or, you know, actually a term that we maybe more or less can identify with is for us is legalism. When you're trying to live by that, I'm going to tell you've got no rest. When you're trying to live by your own merits and your own works, and I'll tell you something, friends, you're up and down all the time in your emotions and your thoughts and things, because, you know, you When you get a good streak going where it looks like you haven't messed up for a while, you get to feeling pretty good, pretty righteous. And then you mess up, all of a sudden you don't feel righteous anymore. You know, when Mina and I had first met in that, I went back up to a church that I'd actually went to when I was a kid. And I went back up there. Of course, it was a different pastor in that, but it was a son of the pastor that I had been under there. But they had this thing, and I'm not trying to be critical, but it was, because of the pastor's work schedule, we didn't have Sunday morning service. We had Sunday night service. So, Sunday evening, we came into service, and I'll tell you, friends, look, if you didn't come up to that altar at the end of the service, people looked at you like you were backslid. Something's wrong with you. Everybody needed to come up there to the altar. And I tell you, you get in there under that, and you get the feeling like a condemnation if you don't go up there. But I'll tell you this, when you're living under legalism like what I had just described with these ups and downs and everything else, I'll tell you what, you feel like every Sunday night you're coming up to the altar to get saved again. When I really get to looking back, I think that's really no different than going into a confessional booth, and confessing to a priest after you've done a bunch of bad things, so you can get up from there and go out from there feeling a little bit better. But boy, by the next Sunday night, you're back up there again. And I'll tell you, I'm glad to be free of that. Look, I don't try to excuse. If I'm talking for myself, I don't try to excuse my mistakes. Look, friends, I know we're human. I know we're in this flesh, and I know we're going to battle this flesh as long as we're in it. And I'm not saying that to make an excuse for it, because I believe that we need to get closer to Christ to bring this flesh under subjection, yield more in our lives to Him. And I believe the Holy Ghost in us that's changed us is bringing us more to that. But it's not through magic. He opens up our eyes and our ears and our hearts to understanding. The things that He teaches us, points out to us, shows us the right direction, shows us the right way. Actually, points out our bad behaviors, points out our insufficiencies. Why? So not that we can become better moral people, but so, I'll tell you something, friends. If a man doesn't realize that something is an issue or a problem in his life, he's never going to seek for a way to a remedy for that. A man's got to realize that something is wrong before he's going to change. And so that's what God's word does for us constantly. It points out if you're wrong here, you're wrong there. And look, we're humans and things change in your life. And as you get older, different experiences and, things that you're going to come through and go through and all that, and it's forever. It seems like a learning experience. But I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Look, I don't feel righteous because of, that I've been a real good person. Within myself, I know I'm not righteous. But I accept His righteousness for me. I accept that what He has done for me. And by accepting that, I also accept that it's God in me that is going to help me overcome the things of this flesh. Like Brother Branham said, you can't be an overcomer if you've never overcame anything. So the promises that Christ gave to the believers of this Gentile bride was to the overcomer from these Gentile ages. And so to be an overcomer, you're going to face things you're going to have to overcome. As Brother Branham says, you know, God's not going to just, you know, pull you through a pipe, pull you out on the other end and say, you've been an overcomer. He said, you didn't overcome anything. You know, I've heard people at different times years ago, you know, they would talk about, you know, wanting the Holy Ghost and all this, you know, and things. And what they were looking for was that if they got the Holy Ghost, then these things of the flesh, they would no longer be bothered by them. Well, the thing about it is, you know, friends, you're still in this flesh. Look in the message. It's what Brother Branham teaches. You're still in this flesh. So, you know, it's what the Bible teaches. It's what, you know, I brought out about how Paul said in Ephesians, you know, about, you know, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Putting off from you envy, malice, strife, anger, all these bitterness and all these things. Those are things of the flesh you still got to contend with after you've actually got the Holy Ghost and there's been a change in your heart. The Holy Ghost is not the body change. That is what we're looking forward to yet to be, to come. That's when that happens, that's when you'll no longer be contending with these things of the flesh. But I'll tell you, friends, contending with them here in this life is character building. Because you cannot have character without suffering.
Hallelujah. What time is it?
And you know, I said last Thursday, you know, I brought out how Brother Branham was talking about these different things, that, about how Paul said, I can't believe you've allowed somebody to come in and pervert you from the gospel that I delivered. And Brother Branham actually pointed at, that's exactly what the denominations have done to the people. They've come in and they've perverted the gospel of Christ. But it just became even more clear to me studying this chapter and that were that, they're wanting, they here was these new Christians, they were Gentiles, they had never been under the Mosaic law, Levitical law. It had been introduced to them under grace. Christ had already came. He had already paid the price. And so what would have caused them to want to go back to on their merits of what they could do? But you find out when you study through the New Testament, you find it isn't just Paul dealing with this. Peter and John and James, they were all dealing with these things where people were trying to justify themselves by what they did, you know. And of course, I believe it's James that actually brings a real balance in that by saying, look, if you're under grace, if you do believe, then you are going to have the works. But, you know, John said, if you say you sin not, you lie. So we're not without sin. But we've got an advocate, Jesus Christ, under grace. But he's the only advocate. Hallelujah. There was a thing, I'm going to say this as I close. There's a thing I came across when I was studying this out. And Brother Branham was speaking about Peter and James and John being up on Mount Transfiguration with Jesus and that. And Brother Branham, before he gets into the part which I've already told you about earlier, before he gets into that, he says, you know, people have asked me, will we know one another when we get there? And this isn't really part of what I was preaching tonight, but I came across this when I was studying on this, and I thought, well, as I close, I'll just share this with you. But he says, so he goes there to Mount Transfiguration. He says, when Elijah and Moses, they have been gone many hundreds of years. Not only will we know each other, we'll know them whom we've never seen. Peter, James, and John, they had never seen Moses and yet recognized him in the twinkling of an eye when they were standing under the shadow of the Almighty. What will it be when we stand there? He said, they didn't have any pictures of these men. They had never saw them, but they knew who they were. And I thought that was because I've preached this, you know, that we will know one another. But I preach it because I had been asked the question, you know. They said, you know, well, Brother Ram says, you know, we're going to go back to how we looked when we were like 20 or so years old and that, you know. And if you've known somebody when they were old and that, and you never saw them when they were young, how are you going to know them then? You know, and I said, we will. And that, and I did point at different scriptures in that, but I had never really caught this before, where he says, you know, there stood Peter, James, and John. Said they never saw Moses, young or old. There was no pictures that actually were actually photographs. There could have been paintings, no doubt, but there were no photographs of Moses. There were no photographs of Elijah, you know. He said, but they knew that's Moses and that's Elijah. And he says, we will know each other on that day. Not only will you know people that you've known here, and then you'll say, well, I never knew them when they were young, but I'm going to know them now. You're going to know people you never even met before. That's what Brother Adam was saying. Because they had never met Moses and Elijah. They never knew them. Read about them, heard about them, but that was it. But when they saw them, they knew who it was. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word on this little Bible study, dear God. And Lord, we're looking at these things and what's behind all these things, what Paul was writing and saying, Father. And Lord, of course, there's many other, we could have just took the first few verses, Lord, and taught on adoption and that, Lord. But I'm taking kind of the scope of this, of what, Lord, Paul talking to the Galatian church and these letters and that, and it's just not historical letters that we're reading, but they hold meaning for us today. And Lord, just as Brother Branham said, you know, God takes his man, but he doesn't take his spirit. He says Satan does the same thing. So we see the same spirits that were there back there when Israel came out of Egypt, the same spirits that was there when you came on the scene there in Jerusalem, the same religious spirits and the same way that men thought then, it's still today. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever as well, and you change not. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. Bless your people tonight, dear God. I pray you'll bring them back here at the appointed time on Sunday, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. When I looked. And so I know it's, you know, many people, they, depending on what days those fall on and that, they try to adjust their family gatherings and all this different things and all that. But I know that people that work, they're off work on the 4th. And so, you know, if I'm not going to have service that Thursday, so that if you've got something you're wanting to do or something planned or whatever and all that, you know, go ahead and do it. Look, I can make this decision, and so that's what we're going to do. So I wanted to just kind of put that out there. Amen. God bless.